It is good to be with you again. Welcome. I welcome you with all my heart. I love every one of you. I know many of you hate chanting. You don't like to chant, you think you don't have to. Yet, chanting is a very important part of spiritual life, believe it or not. Whatever denomination you belong to, whether you're Catholic, Jewish, Mohammedan, Islamic, Christian, wherever you come from, it has been part of every tradition. Why? Because it is known to make the nervous system calm, to make the mind one-pointed, and to improve your concentration. As a matter of fact, the bigger the ego is, the less you like chanting. This is true. For chanting and singing bhajan is very beneficial. I recall when I was in Bangalore, in 1950, Ajahn Mada gave up his body. And I went to Papa Ram Das's ashram in Bangalore. I observed what was going on, watched everybody doing everything, partook in all the festivities. I noticed one young person. And you call him young now, he was about 2 years older than I was at that time. He used to sit under a tree in the lotus posture and meditate for 3 or 4 hours at a time. The next day I approached him and I asked if I could sit with him. He said yes. So I sat with him and I watched him. He became rigid. Eyes were closed. I waved my hand on his face. He was in total silence. I put my finger under his nose to see if he was breathing. Couldn't feel any breath at all. It was in the Nevrakalpa Samadhi. I sat with him for about 3 hours and then he opened his eyes. And I asked him, how long have you been doing this? How long have you been able to be in the Nevrakalpa Samadhi? He said approximately 7 years. He said that was the highest degree he could get, the highest stage of development. I explained to him what Sahaja Samadhi was. For at the present time, when he comes out of the Kalpa Samadhi, he becomes a human being again. And I said this was true. I said, when you come out of the Kalpa Samadhi, don't you become human, so to speak, again? You have emotions, needs, judgmental. He said, yes. But while I'm in the Kalpa Samadhi, I feel bliss. I explained to friends, told them that you merge with the self in the Kalpa Samadhi, but you're not really deep in the self where you stay there forever. You come out of it again and again. I asked him, why didn't he partake in the activities of the ashram? Chants, sing bhajans, do puja. And he laughed and he said, that's for beginners. I don't need to do these things. So the answer was right there. I explained to him, perhaps this was keeping you back from going further. Because you hate something, you don't like something, you think it's no good. Perhaps this was holding you back. For you see, you have to develop humility. And by chanting and singing bhajan, you develop a tremendous humility. It's humility that causes you to surrender the body to the self. When you have surrendered the body to the self, then you will be the self. And you will always be in samadhi while waking. He sort of listened to me, and he closed his eyes again. The next day I saw him sitting with the chanters and chanting. I was leaving at that time. I went up north to see Ananda Mayamoy. I forgot all about him. About 3 months later, I returned to Ramana Ashram. And I saw him over there. I went over to him and he just smiled at me. And by a smile I realized that he was enlightened. He had overcome. And he became active. He told me he doesn't need to meditate any longer. He's always in meditation. Now he chanted, he sang bhajans. And did all these things happily, peacefully. There was a tremendous change in him. I knew his ego had disappeared. His pride had disappeared. This is true of us also. It's very difficult for Westerners to develop humility. And yet this is exactly what we have to do if we want to become free. To become totally free and liberated, we have to have a tremendous humility. We have to let go of all the hardness. The stuff that makes us think I'm better than you. I have more knowledge than you. We have to develop a reverence for all of life. We shouldn't think that our way alone, our path is the only path. And it's only through our path we can become enlightened. We should realize there are hundreds of paths. They're all good. Wherever a person is where they're supposed to be. If we learn to respect one another, to worship all paths, then we become free. For it is that time that the self becomes activated and pulls the ego into the heart. So if you walk around saying, I'm a yanni, it's your ego telling you this. Forget about what you are. Do not look for enlightenment, do not search for anything. Just be yourself. Everything that we do here is for your benefit, everything. Every word that's spoken, every gesture that's made, every chant that's chanted, everything that's said is for your benefit, to awaken you to your real self. It's a heck of a way to get you to chant, isn't it? We're not making progress. Now you're ready for the ego to surrender into the self. Now you're prepared to meet your maker.
Who's that?
Who else? The one who resides within you. Yesterday a lady asked me, Robert, I've been to India and I've seen various yanis, and some of them roar with laughter, but I never see you roaring with laughter. Why is that? I explained, what is the source of the laughter? I am that source. Laughter has the opposite. As you very well know, we live in a world of duality. There's an opposite for everything. So, when you see a person who roars with laughter, think about when something doesn't go their way. They become very emotional, very mad, upset, angry. To the same extent that they became happy and roared with laughter. To a point is to go beyond that. Find the source of the laughter. Find the source of the sadness. Find the source of the depression, the happiness, the joy. What is the source of all of these things? Every human emotion has a source. If you go to the source, you'll always be in bliss, always. Without putting on any show of any kind. You will be yourself, your natural self. You don't need to roar with laughter. Will be totally depressed and angry. They're both two sides of the same coin. Cognizant. When you are the self, you don't think of these things. You don't think about laughter or sadness or happiness or anger. Those words are foreign to you. You just are. You are the one. You've always been that one. You'll always be that one. There are no questions. There are no doubts. No apprehensions. There's no judgment. There's only total bliss. Bliss is incomprehensible. You can only experience bliss. You can't describe it. And so very far beyond laughter, it makes laughter look like kindergarten compared to bliss. Remember, when you laugh, it's because something human has happened to you, makes you feel good. There's nothing wrong with this, it's wonderful. Laughter is good medicine. But remember, the same emotion is anger. They're both the same. In other words, when things are going your way, when you feel good about something in your life, if something good has happened to you in this human existence, you'll become radiantly happy. But when it's taken away, you'll have the opposite emotion. would be doubtful, angry, upset. Therefore, the next thing that's left is the goal. There is no goal. You must search for answers. There are no answers. Just be. Be what you eternally were and you are. Be that self which is unalloyed. That self which is everlasting. It was never born, can never die. That is you. It is beyond all phenomena, all emotions, all religions, all paths. Is that something that you can experience only by yourself? And what you do with yourself all day determines what you're going to experience. If you argue all day long, if you debate all day long, if you're doubtful all day long, what do you expect to experience? You're creating your world every time you think. Every time you have an emotion, you're creating your world. The world by itself doesn't exist. There is no world. Except the world that you create by yourself. You create your world every time you think. The world doesn't exist. It only exists because your mind exists. This is why all the great teachings they say to rid yourself of the mind, control the mind. And the whole world is under your control. When you control the mind, all of the gods and goddesses will come before you and dance. The gods and goddesses will bow to you, pay homage to you. For after all, did you not create them? Where did they come from? Only yourself. They're not two. They're not you and the God. There's only you. As the God. Everything that you behold is your creation. Do not hate it, do not love it, leave it be. Leave it alone. Do not react to it. That is the only way to go beyond it, by not reacting to it. Leave the world alone. Leave everything alone. Do not argue with people. Do not debate with people. The less you have to say, the further you go on the spiritual path. Remember, everything that's done here is done for your sake. Everything. Everything that you see, everything that you feel, everything that you touch, everything that you smell, and such thing, is for your benefit. But you have to see it in the right way. You have to learn to surrender yourself. Always keep surrendering. Keep surrendering completely, totally, all the time. Develop the humility we're talking about. Very important. Everyone wants to be happy. Everyone. Human beings have many differences. But there's one thing they all have in common, they all want to be happy. Without knowing it. Everyone wants to experience eternal happiness, unalloyed happiness. Everyone. And everything that you do is to experience this happiness, positiveness. Everything that you've done in the past, everything that you do now, is only to experience happiness. Is this not true? Of course. The so-called evil deeds that you may do. The so-called sinful things you may do. In order to experience happiness, for you believe if you do this, you'll be happy. If you believe you hold up the bank, it'll make you happy because you have money. Even the murderer kills because he or she feels they'll be happy. Because they dispose of this person, this will make them happier. Everything is done for happiness. But of course the mistake is, they're doing it in the external world. They think if they change the external world and their circumstances, they'll be happy. This, of course, is not true. Due to the fact that the external world is subject to change, it's never the same. How can something that keeps changing make you happy? It may make you happy for a while. You may think you're happy, but then change has to come. And it must. Everything will change. Because it happens out the window. For you have dependent on something external to yourself. The point I'm trying to make is, depend on nothing in this world for your happiness. Nothing. Personal place of thinking cannot make you happy eternally. People are searching since the beginning of time for true happiness. They travel the world. They read all the books. They were great gurus. Yet they've been happy for a time, then they go away. The thing that you must do is find the source of this. Where is the source of this happiness that comes and goes? Where is the source of my body, my mind, my thoughts? Where do they come from? Where is the source? This is the only true homework you've got. To find the source of everything that exists. But where do you look? Within yourself. Where else? There's nowhere else to look. Say you're feeling despondent because somebody disappointed you. A person disappointed you. Instead of feeling angry at the person, or feeling disappointed, go within. Look for the source of the disappointment. Where did the source come from that made me unhappy? Because somebody outside of myself did something I don't like. Where did the source come from? Who's beyond all of this? As you continue to ask questions like this, you will find you go deeper and deeper within yourself. And things stop bothering you. They actually do, they stop bothering you. Things that used to annoy you so much, people, places, things, they no longer have any power to disturb you. For you have risen into the light. What can disturb the light? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. For whom shall I be afraid? The world is the self. It means when you understand the self, what can you fear? For only the self exists. That's all. The self exists as life, as salvation, strength. This world is itself. And you are that. It's within you. We're not speaking of the Lord somewhere up in the sky. Or the Lord somewhere external to yourself. We're speaking of your very self. You are that self. Free. Unencumbered. Happy. Fulfilled. That is you. Will you not accept your true self? Why do you accept something that you see here? Why do you listen to the world? Look at the shape of the world. See, that's the condition it's in. How can you listen to a world that can't control itself? Learn to love yourself. To be at peace with yourself. To worship yourself. To bow to yourself. The only legitimate prayer is to pray to yourself. For you are that God that created you. In reality, God never created anything because God doesn't exist in reality. But as long as you believe there's a God someplace, and you don't believe that you created God yourself out of yourself, then you have to worship that God. If you worship that God correctly, the time will come when you will see God is within me. I am the God I've been worshiping all the time. But now to some of you it sounds blasphemous. Some of you have been brought up in the Orthodox religions. It sounds blasphemous when I say this. We have been told there's a God up in the sky someplace that you have to pray to. And if God hears your prayers, he'll give you a lollipop. But the truth is, you are the one. You are the only one that exists, and that's all. Do not take this dream world seriously. Do not take the sleeping dream world seriously. Do not take yourself seriously. It's very interesting when you begin to live this way. The force of the universe will take care of you. You will always be protected, taken care of. After all, isn't your nature choiceless, effortless, pure awareness? Never think of yourself as a human being. For when you think of yourself as a human being, it means you have to go through human problems, human emotions, human experiences. Learn to catch yourself. All during the day, catch yourself. Catch yourself thinking of a problem. And immediately laugh and say, where's the source of this problem? I am the source of this problem, but who am I? surrender every moment. Keep surrendering every moment. That's another way to do it. When you feel an emotion coming up, when you feel fear coming up, when you feel frustration coming up, catch yourself and give it to God. This is yourself. Say, take this from me, God. It is yours, not mine. Give God everything, all your problems, all your frustrations, everything that bothers you. Do not carry them with you. Do not look for psychiatrists and psychologists to help you. Don't just put you in deeper problems. All the answers are within you. Everything you need is within you. You are a factory of intelligence that knows what to do in every situation. Turn it to yourself. The reason some of you have some serious problems, so to speak, is because you don't turn to yourself. Turn to yourself. The answer is within you. Always turn to yourself. Do not carry the problem. Always turn to the self. You are that self. Turn to it. Do not be fearful. There's nothing to fear. God loves you, and so do I. All is well. I saw some of these things come. Who feels good, who feels bad? The secret is to go beyond them. Not allow them to fill your head up with junk. Go beyond everything. Any more questions?
One's enough.
I know I find a way to stop you from asking questions.
Screw you and your front door!
We will now have a reading. Anybody would like to do the honors?